so many things. Lamas, again, Captain Helio, I think he got on by Skype too, has the exact Lamas midsummer coordinates. Oh, good. Because welcome team, please, everybody feel free to, excuse me, put things on the table. And if I have a hacking cough that requires me to go howl, because it seems to insist that I howl, that's the way to stop the coughing, but I will mute myself so I can go, ah! That means, if I go blank, that means that Captain Grand Wazir Richard will encourage. Can you tell when I go away, Richard?
Only, yes, acoustically. I can't see anything since your conference in with me. I can't control your feed at all.
I see. Well, then everybody's intuition. If I seem to be gone, it means, means I'm muting myself, going, but it'll be fine. But it's a cue for everybody's autonomy to kick in and everybody to feel free to go, well, that reminds me of something I've been wanting to bring up for months. Or this week. Or let's start off. It is Barack Obama's birthday. Yeah. It is good to have an unconflicted birthday wish blessing for this part of ourselves. We are overcoming cringing and being intimidated, and yes, the Facebook dance of conflict over, yes, Gaza and Israel and the world and things. It's very spicy, but we're learning a lot. But anyway, let us overcome any whatever to wish the Barack Obama part of our team birthday well, either just from your own intuitive heart. Ah, what's that sound? That's something from my own sound effects. Excuse me. I'm still here. Or from your own heart or from an astrological perspective, if you know that. I think it's, I love Captain Healy and I backstage a little bit. Excuse me. Noticing that first, okay, so it's Barack Obama's birthday today, happy birthday, it was just the moment of his solar return, 26 minutes ago, so our chart now, very like his chart for the year, so there's a synchronous thing going on. The full moon this week, towards which we are headed, on Sunday morning, 11:09 a.m. for West Coast people, 2:09 p.m. for East Coast people, and figure it out, everybody else, will be at 18 Aquarius, 18 Leo. Barack Obama's ascendant is 18 Aquarius, descendant 18 Leo, so it's right on it. The image for 18 Aquarius is fire responders finally succeed in putting out a dangerous and volatile fire, the channeling of volatile forces. And then the descendant, important for Obama, important for all of us this week, just by, guiding thing, is a houseboat party. It's like, all right, let's put out the fire and then have a party. This does seem pertinent. And then, Captain Helio, let me invite you in after I say one sentence here, and then let us to and fro and leave room for everybody, too, to come in if they want, when they want. But you had been mentioning first 18 Aquarius, channeling volatile forces. That's Barack Obama. He is the guy for this job, this imprisoning and liberating job. And then right after 18 Aquarius comes 19 Aquarius, 19 plus, my North Node and Ralph Nader's, which is the White Dove of Peace. So first we have a volatile conflagration, and then how we deal with that, then we get peace. Do you like that, Captain Helio?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, I have my own take on the houseboat party, but and how it ties in with the conflagration. What I was saying to you, of course, was that that he was born to become president in the middle of a mess, okay? And because that's his job. He's the guy who's like community organizer tied in with that, his previous job, one of them, which is like the ability to mobilize people, Aquarius, and he has that keen sense of we, that sense of like, it's not about me, when he shed a tear the night after the election, when he was acknowledging his people and saying, "You're much smarter than I was when I was a community organizer." You know, this is that sense of the we. And so the we is the people getting together to go, what are we going to do about this forest fire that's burning up the planet and burning up the economy and burning up our culture and burning up our values? What are we going to do about that? And I forget the Midheaven degree with him.
It's 28 plus Scorpio. It is our own Grand Wazir's sun degree. It is
28
the belief
plus Scorpio is like Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King energy.
All the more important for our blessing, right?
It's the Indian squaw, quote unquote, pleading to the chief for the lives of her two sons, which is the so-called feminine principle, the principle of inclusive caring, pleading to the principle of naked power to mobilize naked power on behalf of the children and life itself, you know? And so also that would mean the IC, his root, is the two cobblers, which is about the ability to perceive more than one point of view and to make a bridge to other points of view, which is really where he's coming from. Doesn't work too well right now, but he's doing his best. And so, but that idea of taking the mobilizing us so that we can bring the so-called feminine principle to our power life on a global level is the way I would read that. And so that's totally appropriate to now. And I think that full moon is so perfect because it just brings, you know, this coming year forward even further that reaching to whatever options are yours. And if you come from the divine connection, then you come from the point of view that there are always options and ways to align with the invincible power, you know. Anyway, that's my take.
Yeah, no, I think that's great.
Go ahead.
Yes?
The 19 Leo, I can get into another.
Either you had something interesting to say, or you fell off the balcony.
No, I cut myself because I thought of something after you started talking. That's all.
Excellent. Yeah, oh, feel free.
Because the 19 Leo.
Caroline.
Well, yes.
It's Karen and Sweetie.
Hello,
getting
Karen.
Getting in from the streets of North Berkeley.
Excellent.
Hello.
Oh, okay. I mean, you're just now skidding in media race.
Just now skidding in from the streets of North Berkeley, and I hope I didn't interrupt anybody.
Too late for that. It's perfectly wonderful. It's all improv theater right now because we are in Leo time, because it is Lammas, which we want to honor. It is Barack Obama's birthday today. It is the full moon coming up. It is the 40th anniversary of Nixon's resignation, which means that dates me. It means the 40th anniversary of my first visit to Findhorn. It is the 70th anniversary of Anne Frank's arrest today. There's a lot going on, swirling. And just to bring into play, and as everybody knows, yes, I get to cough and disappear every now and then. But part of that is I just want to bring into play the kindness of beings and how lucky we all are to have anybody in our lives, really. I've been hosting. I don't have this cold. I've been hosting this incredible cold. But once I started, Richard Olson gave me counsel, and I go, right, that's good. Okay, do that. And then wonderful Tara on our team was like, and here you go. And then wonderful herbalist called up and said, put your head over a bucket of steaming thyme, which I've almost had time to do. And it's like, ooh, the help, the embrace. I feel better already. Because when you're alone, you can go, hot and cold fever, long-standing cold. Oh, my goodness, bronchitis, I'm probably going to die. No, help, most salutary. So I just want to thank you, team. I'm doing all right. And then part of our everybody adventure, what I love, that, in noticing other people's charts, which also gives me heart, it's a way into our navigating, the whole big, beautiful field of now. So, again, feel free, anybody to chime in, Star 7 or Captain Helio, whenever you feel like it. But part of the beauty of Barack Obama's birthday, his Sun, Mercury, Jupiter conjunction in Leo, in his birthday chart, his Mercury, Sun, Uranus, descendant, North Node, and Leo natal chart is it reminds us of what we're all heading into, which is Jupiter in Leo, showtime, will be trining, making a fire trine to Uranus trickster, Aries, that as it stations, especially at 12 degrees Aries, part of why I wanted the Barack Obama part of ourselves in the mystery play so much to be safe and reelected is looking at that 12 degree Leo sun, realizing that Uranus was going to station there many times last summer, maybe not such a great time for the country and the world and him, but we got the last station of Uranus in Aries before, you know, and its last square to Uranus at 12 Aries, square Pluto at 12 Capricorn in December, and then it goes on to do other things in the spring, and then, okay. Is that he's really tied in for this. So I do want to wish him a you are the right guy for this job, thankless in many ways though it be. And also part of our dynamic, again, just to remind us that, you know, when he was born, Mars is at 22 Virgo, which when the United States was born, July 4th, 1776, Neptune was at 22 Virgo. So he Marses, he animates Neptune, the higher octave of Venus, the soul of the country, that is his job. And I think that's part of our dynamic to see him as this part of all of us doing that. And to feel, you know, well, the prison of the White House opening up, so or the presidency opening up, so that it be more play. And spice, which I think we can see, you know, who cares about approval ratings, you know, what the hell, and that it's our job to keep him safe as he gets more provocative, as he puts more of a restraining arm on Netanyahu backstage, as he has been going, no, you can't bomb Iran. What's that behind your back, Bibi? No. Put it on the table. No, you can't have Iran. No, there's... And now, of course, we have, you know, a conflagration. And I also just want to invite all of us in this powerful time, you know, to go deep, deep, deep. Who was it on our team? Who was it I was talking with? Somebody, again, about just the roots of where it all went wrong, the roots of... Wait, who was talking about... The conspiracy theories. Oh, I think it was, okay. I won't out you. That's right. It was this morning. I know who it was. Reading a book on the Illuminati and whatnot. We go, okay, it's dodgy material, but I do want to invite all of us to go Saturn, the roots. You know, through really millennia, who benefits from fanning the flames of difference and hatred? Whose advantage is that? You know, we wonder, because it is a deep, sneaky thing, this convincing people they have an enemy, and does it, you know, that's why I like, you know, we don't even need to know, we don't want to pin it on a group of people, because that would be to be part of the whole, you know, cuckoo dynamic, but I like, you know, Doris Lessing saying Shemat, she posited, you know, was something that feeds on conflict. In any case, we're going all the way back, going not snookered into opposition. Oh, very challenging, you know, but honoring Act 4, Act 5. There we go. So let me also introduce and then let Captain Helio, if you're up for it, kind of animate Lammas. That's why we say, you know, create bonfires or have arson. Take your pick. Conflagration contained by, you know, whatever clever thing I said. Ritual, yes, that's it. Let ritual contain conflagration. Because it is, you know, bonfire or arson over and over again. You know, throughout kind of history, this midsummer season, Lunasa, celebrated by giant bonfires on the tops of hills. And when it hasn't been, when people have, you know, decided to create horrific melodrama rather than sacred theater, very often riots break out now in Washington, D.C. There have been, you know, there were many Cinco de Mayo, but also Lammas riots around the world. We have huge conflagrations now in so many places. I mean, certainly, you know, in Palestine, Israel, Syria, Egypt, many, many places. And so we go all the more to have sacred fire for each one of us even to tend a little sacred fire, your beeswax candle. Some of us have those still from our trickster training adorable council. We have candles and bronchitis. Yes, many of us shared the cold and everything, but we have candles. But, you know, ways we want to think about it. So llamas, you know, it's the summer Halloween. And so it is so useful now to convene because it is a waxing moon. More of everything's coming up. We get to really clarify how we want to be and wish each other well, that we be not backing down, not intimidated from perspective, but holding to our own all-inclusive principles, again, that we be responsive, not reactive. Oh, very challenging, very challenging. But not nearly as challenging for all of us as for anybody in hot conflagration circumstances. Why again, we can be grateful for our circumstance. We're not in a conflagration. We're witnessing a conflagration. We can feel responsive or reactive to conflagration. Let me finish up before the coughing overwhelms me. But so midsummer, one of the four cross-quarter holidays, Lammas, said to be where the four gates of power, where power comes into the world, all the power that ever was or will be is here now. How shall we, you know, inhale our, all of us, everybody wanting to together, our from whatever, wherever we've been outsourcing leadership, maybe over millennia, to tyrannical dingbats who've lost their sense of kinship, we're inhaling it back. This is a great time to do it, and exhaling into desirable vision. And again, seeing good things, you know, for Barack Obama. He's putting a fire out with many, many people, many people, many allies, while being safe. There we go. And then there's a houseboat party that anybody or Rick can talk to us about. But it's rounded off to August 2nd, but it will be August 7th. Yes, perhaps take it away, Rick. You have the coordinates of August 7th, you say, at 10:15 a.m. in Eastern Time, or correct me?
Eastern Time, 10:15 a.m. Now, it could be off a minute or two, but, you know, it, if you look it up in your computer, it will be 15:00 Leo for the sun position. So let's just call it 10:15 a.m. EDT on the 7th. And to me, again, those four cardinal points that Rudyard used to talk about, you know, that tie in with Ezekiel's dream of the ox, Taurus, the lion, Leo, the eagle, Scorpio, and the angel, Aquarius, and the exact middle of the four seasons. And often when, you know, the pagans celebrate the beginning of what would actually be fall in some pagan traditions right now. And so, to me, it's a center of power. And the Leo one, to me, is about dignity and authority and owning it all as being your dream. It's also everybody else's dream. You dreamed me and I dreamed you in, and the big boogity shoe dreamed us all in. And so the ability to, when we don't resist what is, then we become one with what is, and then we can see what is as our dream, and then we can experience our perfect dignity and authority. What is the role that is waiting for me in this movie? I was just writing about Buckminster Fuller, whom I got to see twice, and him saying that if you see something that needs doing, and there's nobody more qualified than you that you know is doing it, then perhaps the forces of evolution have dropped it on your plate, and that is no more mystical than dodging a falling apple. And so that ability to perceive what is mine, how am I the hero or heroine of this moment in time? How is everything perfect, missing only my contribution? You know, as the Course in Miracles, only what you fail to give can be missing in any situation. And so this particular avatar point, this midsummer, you know, the dignity of the sun, the center of the sun, as it were, the peak of the sun's power. And so the sun, so I just, and particularly this, you know, the chart of this has the moon at 1 degree Capricorn, no matter where you are on the earth, okay? And that's about taking leadership, and that's about owning it. You know, that's about coming forward with whatever authority is yours, and there's always a divine authority that is ours. The same way that, you know, Joan of Arc, Jeanne d'Arc, you know, 19-year-old, 17-year-old, peasant country girl, can walk up to, you know, the soldiers and say, you know, even the king, the uncrowned king, and say, I'm the next commander-in-chief of the French Armed Forces. You can laugh all you want, but I'm the next commander-in-chief of the French Armed Forces. Where does that certainty come from? You know? And that the knowing is the opposite sign of Aquarius, but the ability to embody the knowing, to get on stage, the ability to not be fully yourself is Aquarius. Yes, I'm the sun, but I'm one of trillions of suns known as stars. The ability to not be full of yourself, but to have this natural authority coming from source through you that gives you permission to take the stage in this movie. Where is this coming from? And take up space and burn like the sun and bring it forward. And so that's my sense of what the real Lunasa, whether you celebrate it earlier or whether you want to do it astrologically as I do, which is 10:15 a.m. EDT on the 7th.
It's actually 10:13 a.m.
Okay, good. I knew it could be a couple of minutes off.
No, just for the fun of it. But it is, yes, and it is available to all of us. Ah, the North Node is my sun. But yes, the moon, zero Capricorn, at that moment, you know, presiding the quality of what wants to come into the world, you know, connecting with, in this quirky 150-degree angle to Jupiter and Leo, the celebration and Leo theater of actual moon Capricorn, sane, reverent, long-term leadership vision. Go, what a good idea. Yes, that's what we're doing. There's much beauty there. You know, again, feel free to and fro as, or converse everybody and Captain Helio too, but I'm just noticing much beauty that I want to kind of point out that we can feel this, this kind of transition as the sun this week, you know, on its way to a full moon, which is unique, and also it is unique to have a solar return like Barack Obama in a completely different place from your birth, to have the same rising sign within 2 degrees is like a reset button and not necessarily usual. And I just want to keep throwing fun things there, too, which is his Jupiter at zero Aquarius is the same as Elizabeth, Elizabeth, wonderful person, Massachusetts. Elizabeth.
Wow.
Warren, there we go. That's right. Both of them have Jupiter at zero Aquarius. Obama's is retrograde, and Elizabeth Warren's is direct, I think, but zero Aquarius. The old Adobe mission in the desert to tease sane, reverent, you know, common sense into public policy. We're getting a resonant, repetitive theme. He's chosen in the mystery play to have more apparent illusory power and also more constraint. She, in a curious way, has the freedom to be more herself, which is probably why she will not necessarily want to run for president, but to use it as theater. And then to bring back to all of us this idea of fantastic theater. What we have, you know, before us that is... And see, our meeting tonight is Barack Obama's solar return, which is his kind of assignment or nuance for the whole year, which is why, just because Blessed Tara was going, you know, you have this terrible cough, you can just blow off the whole thing, and I go, you know, tonight, our gathering, and I go, I could, because I'm feeling much more spirited now, but I was like, but there is so much that wants us to cahoot, it's calling. So, for instance, right now, for all of us, for this Lammas time, for, I mean, everything, there's so many great patterns. If I space out, somebody else jump in. But for instance, we have on Lammas, Mars at 6 degrees of Scorpio, deep diving, exactly trining Neptune at 6 Pisces. Again, powerful vision, the strategy of wisdom traveling into theater to be animated in a guiding way. We're always up for that, but it seems really it wants to happen as I look at the kind of true Lammas. You know, the cross-border holidays are always a downrush of invited energy, in this case, into our hearts. And says, where would we like to be a fountain of blessing and well-wishing and that it is creativity in service to next seven generations, whether we're lighting a candle at home or doing other or whatever unfurls before us, but also that idea of Ceres, Demeter, goddess of the earth, next to Vesta, making it sacred, next to Mars, strategy, next to Saturn, old things, woman made fertile by her own spirit, exactly trining Chiron at 16 Pisces, the Asclepion, the Temple of Dreams, connected to Uranus, meaning, the one thing I pull from that also is to go all the way back in our hearts and in our ancestral lineage and in human history and find what was excluded, the Shekinah, the She-Wolf, that which brings us together, the understanding that, you know, we are all the same race, human race. There is no racism. I'm going to qualify that because, as a Scorpio friend of mine points out, the biological definition of race is if two beings can reproduce, they are the same race. We have different ethnicities, and this is why I like switching from racism to ethnicism, because ethnicism is too hard to say. Conferences on ethnicism, you know, just let's just call the whole thing off and have a cup of, you know, Arab-Israeli coffee, or Semitic coffee. Semitic being part of an ethnicity that includes Arab and, you know, and Jews. One thing. These are the Semitic people. These divisions are false, maybe in the last 1,500 years, but they are false, and who do they profit? And I do want to put out, again, for our perpetual deep delving study and rumination, the against all odds trickster solution long term, again, which is, for instance, in the conflagration that serves no life between Israeli people and Palestinian people, is the one-state solution brilliantly proposed to me by Zohar Atai. I can't do it full justice, but I can say we did an incredible radio show on it. And it is the trickster move, because at first one goes, nah. We are conditioned to go, nah. It would require releasing everywhere, in everyone's heart, the concept of state identity, of theocratic state identity, of tribal identity, and embracing a larger theatrical story of kinship that is not even limited to humans. You know, it's
Caroline?
Really... Yes, yes.
This is Evangeline.
Hey, Evangeline.
And I just want to say something to what you're saying. I have spent, I am in northern Minnesota, I have the window open, and I have spent the summer realizing that when I breathe in, I am breathing the breath of trees.
Yes.
Mm. Another species. See? And so during the course of the summer, this thing's been going, relative to what you're saying, it's the cooler version. I'm saying this. Creativity depends on intimacy. You know, a male and a female get together and they produce a child. You know, that's pretty creative. But then there's other ways. You know, we're intimate with individuals, ideas and stuff. But then I thought, can we be intimate with other species? And then I came to this idea, oh, my God, every night these trees are creating oxygen for me and I'm breathing them because they're right outside my window. You know, we're breathing one another's breath.
Right.
Just and saying that, you know, relative to what you're saying, just can we connect? Anyway, we do regardless whether you think about it or not.
Great, and I think it was you that brought up, or somebody... that when we live in a place for a while, our breathing begins to come into accord with the inhale, exhale of the trees around us. There are so many.
I didn't say that, but I totally agree.
Right. So intimacy of place, love of land. You know, we go back to this important thing. You know, tyrants. The quote, I don't know who said it, but it's a saying that I embrace. Tyrants don't care if they're hated, as long as the people don't love each other.
Yeah.
You know, and we would then say, you know, and then you go into, you know, who benefits from hatred? Who benefits from hatred? Tutsi, you know, these false divisions, they go back, but they are nonetheless, I feel, engineered and not intrinsic. And the capacity to transcend with a story, because it does come from the land. So tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. So it is in the service of tyranny to keep people at each other's throats. That suits, you know, anyone who uses violence, any tyrannical impulse. You know, we do remember that it was the Mossad that created Hamas, literally, by dragging the old sheik out of prison and funding him as an opposition to Yasser Arafat and the PLO. The sneaky complicity of violence, you know, we go, no sides. But if we're going to talk about a side, it's anyone who proposes violence and who does not respect life, same side, regardless of different team sweatshirt. You know, and we go, all right, okay. Because the thing that follows up from that, as we adopt it, is tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. And that's where you're going. And that's also part of what, you know, Evangeline's chiming in as well, that the intimacy, the fairy tale has a lot to do with journeying, but it also has to do with, you know, careful living in a particular place. And the you have to keep people afraid in order to keep them greedy about water. You know, oh, there's not enough, better get it now. So we want to learn our kindergarten principles of sharing and water, and again, always with not just humans, that there be enough water for the critters and that the walls, and somebody else pointed this out too, because, you know, there is a lot of hot conflagration in a, you know, mini way. Nobody's getting killed on Facebook, you know. But people are like, but somebody was going, well, you know, the terrible tunnels. And somebody else said, well, you know, walls do create tunnels. It's not approved, disapproved. It's like you put up walls, you're going to get tunnels. You go, right, again, complicity and pattern and design, you know, I recognize the manifestation of the undeviating justice in all the circumstances of my life. Not meaning we approve of it, not meaning even a good thing, but just going, there's a symmetry. You know, you take away walls, you take away tunnels. Yeah. Hey there.
Susan here.
Yes, Susan.
I was just listening to what you and Evangeline were saying, and the thought came to me that the one-state solution would be the love of both peoples for that very place on earth.
Yes.
So important to both cultures.
Right.
If they could only get there.
Well,
if we could only help them get there. Or see them even.
Yes. And in the Nemosphere, it says, you know, it's worth the experiment without presumption, without deriving status, to say, you know, what we see, you know, is a cool mist on hot conflagration that can waft in, and it is our trickster dynamic against all odds. Because the full vision is kind of, you know, beginning to be delineated to me over, I don't know, you know, 6 hours in a radio show from Israeli peace activist Zohar Atai years ago, because was like, and when I had hosted him on the radio with my ally Rod Suskin from South Africa, Rod was saying, oh, absolutely. The end of apartheid was even more unthinkable, even more unlikely than a one-state solution. And the one-state solution is you're giving up, you know, theocracy, you're giving up, and then I would need Zohar to guide through, because people are going to go, but we'll be overrun, but let's get up, and we go, easy, calm. One is intertwined like those fantastic, wonderful shells, spiraling shells, there we go, whatever that.
The conch shell?
That'll do. Intertwined in that way, like when we put our little hands together, I'm doing it now, I can't convey it, you know, and it's a spiral. And so by being intertwined in inextricably intertwined neighborhoods, yes, you're giving up some things, but you're getting safety. And the way he kind of lays it out is this blooming in which Jerusalem becomes an international peace capital and an incredible flow of resources and money and ingenuity and renaissance in a global sense. You know, it is, of course, unlikely, but that's where trickster steps in, but what a vision it could be. Again, you know, palm trees, olive groves restored, you know, yes, it will take some time to cool out the violence and the retribution and the vengeance. But here comes sacred theater. Here's where we're going, and here's where there's so much generosity being proffered to us. And as so many friends in South Africa said, oh, yeah, it was unthinkable. But how Rod Susskind and many others kind of guided us through it on radio and in life, going, right, it was unthinkable because there was so much anger and there'd been so much murder and killing, you know, and how would you ever overcome that natural desire, that incredible frustration? You'd seen your your son, your child, your village burned. How would you overcome that? This is South Africa. And they realized the only way to overcome that was story. You know, and they made this bold, scary deal, the truth and reconciliation. If you confess, if you tell the truth, then you will not be prosecuted. It was a huge, let's look at our chart here, a huge sacrifice, you know, a huge making sacred of Steve Biko's parents, you know, who was hideously murdered. His killers come forward and go, yeah, we tortured him, we beat him for hours, days, you know, and then we finally killed him. And Steve Biko's parents had to let those people walk free. Whoa! What a huge sacrifice. But again, it was Rod Susskind who said that people were glued to their televisions and outside the televisions and on the streets and talking and smoking and sharing meals for weeks because these were all broadcast. It was all a kind of healing theater. Well, we're looking at the chart of now and going, you know, International Healing Theater, 1001 Nights of Storytelling run by the women of the Middle East. You know, let's get this thing going. Strange white flowers are blooming in the midnight ruins of Babylon is when we convened, you know, and what got exiled, which is why I want to also just bring up the, you know, whatever it was I was saying at the beginning of the thing, yes, beauty poker and all, but what got exiled, oh yeah, here we go, which is, yes, She-Wolf, Shekinah, Scheherazade. Yeah, one of the best pieces of theater I ever saw was the Traveling Jewish Theater in San Francisco. Beautiful. Fabulous. And they did this fantastic, beautiful, radical folklore play, The Return of the Shekinah, the return of the feminine, prophetic, exiled aspect of Judaism. And somebody, I don't know if, I can't remember if wonderful person who gave me this book is on our call, Dana Birnbach, might be, but somebody sent me this great book that I'm going to enjoy enormously, The Magic of the Ordinary, Recovering the Shamanic in Judaism by Gershon Winkler. And with blurbs on the back from my friends, Sandra Ingerman and, you know, Andy Weil. Andy Weil likes this book. He goes, Jewish sorcery, magical healing. What would traditional Jewish Aunt Fanny say? But it's all here in which Rabbi Gershon Winkler, with wit and wisdom, leads us to rediscover the more paganistic and pantheistic mysteries underlying the ancient Hebrew tradition. You go, yeah, let's go Kabbalah. Let's go ancient. Let's go Islamic mysticism. Let's go, that's where there's commonality to do the real magic. You know,
say the name of the book again.
It's called Magic of the Ordinary, Recovering the Shamanic in Judaism by fabulously named Gershon Winkler, Rabbi Gershon Winkler. There's some great rabbis. I mean, I know some great rabbis, because, again, tricksters underneath it all. So I'm looking to that. You know, Andy Weil and I grew up on the Kabbalah. And then also on Sufism, mystical Kabbalah, mystical Islam. Yes, that's the Saturn Scorpio. Go for what got excluded, which allows these false divisions and hatreds, you know, as opposed to these magical, knowledgeable, intellectual, spiritual collaborations of how to heal the earth, which were once really vital, you know, and again, Aramaic, I'm all for Aramaic, because Jews and Arabs, all Semitic people, Jews and Arabs, spoke Aramaic. It's the vernacular language Jesus would have spoken. It's somewhere, I don't know if we have any Aramaic speakers on our call, but it is somewhere between, I think this is true, Hebrew and Arabic. It's very resonant. Apparently, if you know one or the other, you can almost get Aramaic. And remember, Aramaic is primarily nature-based. in its sensual, metaphoric linguistics. Everything is, blessed are those who plant peace. Again, as you know from years, you know, blessed are the meek that comes to us, you know, for, you know, in Aramaic, blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. You know, right. And in Syria, blessed
Caroline,
Syria. Yes, yes.
That whole thing, you're talking about the Aramaic?
Yeah.
I know nothing of it, but I understand the concept of our words tell our DNA who we are. So what beautiful thing if our that language was instructing our DNA.
Well, you know, it's like Chief Marie from the Athabascans, the Eyak people in Alaska. She was one of the last Eyak speakers. And when she was dying, everyone was so sad for love of her, but also for loss of the language. And she always said, the language comes from the land. If you maintain your love of the land and your intimacy with the language will spring up again. And so the language of the Middle East, you know, is, well, it is, I mean, it's Hebrew and it's Arabic, and but it's Aramaic that is in Syria, and all of these false divisions that were, you know, imposed in, you know, after the first war for oil, World War I, as we now know, and then the imposition of these false boundaries on the Middle East in order for the convenience of hoovering up resources and oil. You know, so these are old, you know, the problem goes way back and is nefarious and is not recent, but is long-term, and the storytelling and the holding of accountability is important, and the not being snookered by one's desire to not be snookered, very important, and looking things boldly in the going, whoa, yes, yes, I'm not the CUNY rockets, yes, terrible, but, you know, the mass murder of villages and children and bombing of schools, is, you know, is that's war crimes, you know, and that's to be stopped right now. And how might we stop this? Does that mean they want to come in? A breathing heavy person? Possibly. Or else beeping from outer space. Yes, we have subscribers from outer space. Come in, space beings. Yes, we would need you now. Yes, come in and pour the cooling waters of common sense on all the hot conflagration areas of the world, including the West Coast. Article just coming out on the, you know, enormous droughts in the West, the burning up of the Arctic, the huge methane pits, the portals to the underworld that are opening up in Russia. You know, it's hot, and it is all one story of a kind of conflagration heat. So yes, all right. So bringing back to that. Hello.
Can you hear me, Tara?
Oh, no, now we can hear you.
So I just wanted to say hello and chime in with the book that I was mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
It's called Secret Societies of America's Elite, From the Knights Templar to Skull and Bones by Stephen Sora. It's really interesting the way it weaves the story with all the characters and names and families and the story of the Knights Templar and how that went underground and moved into the Masonic network and how they were essentially pirates and opium and slave traders, and all the great wealth, or a great majority of the great wealth of this country is founded on the backs of those, and it was mostly in New England, and it tells the story of the families and who's, you know, these. It's very exciting. There's lots of very rich political lives that you know, span from Benjamin Franklin to you know, the great families that owned the war machine that is causing so much trouble now.
Excellent. So what would your blessing be? Or, you know, we can prime the pump together. What would the blessing be?
Well, as this wealth has grown and you know, amassed in these different funnels, may the generations that take control, make a joyful leap towards doing great good with the wealth that they've been entrusted, no matter its nefarious origin.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yes, money laundering is taking place. Well, there is a lot of it. I mean, you know, I have clients who inherit ill-gotten gains from racism in the South and gasoline companies in the South and the Weyerhaeuser lumber, you know, devastators whose children are all environmentalists. And yeah, so that's good. No, I like that idea too. And may the money be distributed for the sake of democracy, for the sake of dismantling, yes, sneaky elites who thrive on the conflict of others as a distraction from the looting. I think that's a Saturn-Uranus thing going, who benefits from conflict? You go, well, while people are busy kind of lobbying, you know, horrible things at each other, who's looting? Who's using that as a distraction to go, I will take all the water and all the oil and the resources, and they won't notice because they're busy hating each other. You know, so I just want to also put out, you know, that we all kind of put out into the memosphere that being tricked into hatred is to be in service to the reality police while they loot the Commonwealth.
Carolyn.
Yes, yes.
You were saying that being tricked into this. The thing that I see is that the people with wealth, a certain amount of wealth, are trusted entities. And those trusted entities are doing the work of this, you know, you can't do bad work unless you have finance. And so banks finance them. And that was the thing.
What do you mean? Well, you mean the scale. You can't do a huge scale of up to no goodness.
Right.
Without,
no, I mean, without finance. And then you have this. And what I'm wandering over here to the point of this Congress of Women, et cetera, that's coming up in November, a lot of those women are associated with wealth. And they're becoming involved with the idea that, oh, the money I have in a bank or in a trust or in something is funding those things, see? Because the people who are up to no good, they do not use their own money. They use finance. And finance comes through banking, see?
Uh-huh.
So all I'm saying is that it's a sleight of hand. It's like the shell game.
Oh, I like that.
And then to get these people who have wealth aware of the shell game that they rely on, because that's where the wealth comes from. It changes, it shifts. So it's a curious thing that's coming up with this idea of people recognizing that where the money they have that's just sitting somewhere and paying them off is doing harm, see?
Wait,
doing harm, huh?
Say that last thing again, the what?
The money that they have that contributes to their wealth, you know,
right.
It's in things. Institutions, financial institutions. And the financial institution is financing harm. See,
yeah.
We say, oh, this guy is, okay, I'm on the phone, I'm going to say this. The Koch brothers, they're this anathema to everybody, okay? But I live in Minnesota, and they had a refinery here for decades. And in the state of Minnesota, there is one of the wives of one of the Koch brothers is big on rescuing animals. So this summer, my daughter, who is a woman who has her own business, and she gets, and her daughter, you know, they're eligible for school lunches because her real income is so little, okay? Anyway, they rescued a crow in the backyard. And they took it to this place, which is supported by one of the wives of one of the Koch people, okay? It's bizarre, see? This is an extenuated thing.
Yeah, we like complexity.
We love complexity, yes. So that the whole scenario there was wonderful. But meanwhile, what I'm saying is, where you hold your money, if you are a wealthy person, that institution is who funds this stuff. I mean, we may hate the Koch brothers, but they never use their own money. They use borrowed money to do everything they do.
Which is a very Saturn Scorpio, other people's money kind of thing.
There you go. I'm getting off right now because I wind up in this. But
no, it's good. But prime the pump for us too. So the blessing would be what? Do we think?
Oh my gosh, I do this all the time. I say, may every coin and note funding cool future attract and invite their fellow comrades fallen to misuse to refine their role in the flow of infinite generosity. See, money is almost separate from the rest of us. Money is something. All of us recognize money as something separate from us. And I don't know why, I'm not going to speculate, but money is out there. And so I decided, instead of being angry with anybody, I'm not going to be angry with anybody.
Uh-huh.
I learned that from you 2 years ago. I've been studying this dramatically.
We're all working on it together.
Yes,
and I want
yes.
you to say the blessing before you go again, too. Right? That's really good.
May every coin and note.
Yes.
Funding cool futures.
Funding cool futures, yes, yes.
Attract and invite.
Attract and
invite. And invite.
Wait.
Attract and invite. See,
and invite.
Money attracts itself.
Right, right, right.
But you know, attract and invite their
yes.
fellow comrades. Like, money is attracting money.
Right, 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 right.
And see, in this blessing, I have toyed with the idea. I want to say fallen to misuse, but then again, I don't want to. See, I don't want to be negative at all.
Right. Yes, it's a very good... It's a very good weird you are dreaming. It's very excellent, Evangeline.
Attract and invite their fellow comrades to refine their role in the flow of infinite generosity. See? I love the word refine because we're so much into oil, you know.
Right. No, you kidnap
so refine
that,
their role. All the money refines its role.
Mm-hmm.
And in the flow of infinite generosity.
That's great. All right, I'm going to quote you on that one. No, it's beautiful. That's really good. Because, yes, it's again, everything alive. And if we look at our chart now, which is also Obama's chart, it's the chart we are dedicating to now, is Obama's solar return. It's such an interesting fabulousness, in which Venus, love, art, beauty, money, principle of art, creativity, and intimacy, you know, again, be restored to being, yes, an agent of intimacy and beauty, but that in the way that you said even more wonderfully. So we have Venus in Cancer, again, you know, Brer Rabbit, we remember we're all kin, you know, for all beings, trining the moon in Scorpio. This is for him all year. This is for us now to animate, you know, for the year. And trining also his midheaven by transit, which is the same as our own Talk to Me Guy's son. We have compassionate, powerful yang present in myriad forms. And I just wanted to bring up also the... because what you were doing, the moon's degree when we began, and for Barack Obama all year, is, again, deep seeing, x-ray, seeing underlying patterns, penetrating beneath the obvious layers. Enlightening the dark areas, energy patterns, physical structures. Remember, we're all kind of conjuring and contributing wherever we are, the beautiful Coyote women in Mendocino, the beautiful Karen and Sweetie, the beautiful Evangel in the Midwest, the beautiful Susan in Wisconsin, the beautiful, you know, Claire in New England. We are conjuring a unifying, magnetizing story that all of nature wants us to cahoot in, really, truly. And the theater, not entertainment, but, you know, although it can be entertaining, which is to animate the guiding, all-inclusive, ingenious story that rouses people against all odds, going, you know, and see, again, especially this idea, what would everyone, would people be willing to give up hatred and animosity for safety and beauty? How about that? Is that a good poker deal? You know, we go, yeah, it is a good poker deal. And wafting first, remember the quality of water and Neptune is that it is the invisible tendrils that guide atmospheric shift that then the molecules of reality follow along behind, that is actually, you know, as the Emerald Tablet of Hermes says, overcoming every solid and penetrating every, no wait, penetrating every solid and overcoming every subtle thing. It is the strong force of all forces. Yes, overcoming every solid, penetrating every subtle thing. So the world was created. Hence we're all wonderful adaptations of which this is the manner, says Hermes Trismegistus. Also hermetic magic. You know, for what you're bringing up, Tara, in an important way, the history of nefarious, you know, greedy elites. There is also the history of beautiful esoterica. Again, you know, Gershon Winkler's, you know, the Kabbalah and the whatever of, you know, the power of envisioning of good-hearted people, the positive conspiracy, the positive intrigue to trump the up to no good with a bigger, larger, deeper story, but that does take place invisibly at first. But both the up to no good, bless their hearts, may they change, and the good know some things. This is the esoteric realm. They know the power of imagination trumps, you know, the apparent convincing illusion of reality. And that's why to dream big, going, ooh, and the desirable, you know, shared ingenious water and shared blooming and, you know, there for every... Right now, I mean, we're heading into a lot of, you know, fear-mongering, much of it justified. But then how do we, what we're up to here, you know, be able to take in information and not just go, bleh, although that's important first, to go, bah, yeah, yeah, and then go, you know, may crisis catalyze ingenuity and common collaboration. You know, article just came out, pretty credible, you know, in the California drought and the affecting of real estate prices to plummet in several years. Maybe, maybe not, you know, in California as people seek water further east, not Nevada, further east and further north. And we go, maybe. But then there's also the ingenuity. Some people, we are heading into huge migrations. Some people stay, some people leave. Everyone to be more inventive. Yeah, and that's why the chief lone wolf of the people near San Luis Obispo, when they everything dried up, their lake dried up, and they had some grief, but they were like, all right, let's create vertical permaculture in which we use much less water and our reverence for it. That's what water is telling us, to be more reverent and ingenious. So, yeah, so may we all be, you know, kind of agents of that. Wait, I'm pulling this thing up here. Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, so one, the you know, what Evangeline just presented, I love that. I might have to turn it over to the team in a moment, but it's like Marge Piercy's, you know, charm for attracting wild money. You know, I will rub my hands with honey and run through the vaults of banks. Come, money. I will not lock you in dark, you know, gloomy, imprisoning trust funds. No, you will be free to join others of your kind soon. You know, come money and build a murmuring, you know, swarm in my purse or our purse or whatever the thing is. May everyone have a reciprocal blessing. May there be an availability, an irrigation of windfall of wherewithal, you know, for people to fund good things. That would be a good wish. And that's what I thought. But also beauty poker. I want to bring up, you know, where there's hyper yang death frenzy, one of our themes. May Venus be invited to guide our beauty poker. I see your act of creative beauty and raise you one in a perpetuity spiral. It's like the enfolding. It's a nautilus shell. That's what I meant. The nautilus shell. Maybe somebody said that. But the nautilus shell, you know, that perfect. You know, when we put our if we hook our little fingers together, it creates that beginning spiral, and that's the envisioning of villages. in which everything is spiraled together, nestled together in intimacy, and restores, and money circulates as well. It's really good for everybody. And then there's the fears like that, and we go, no, here's the vision, here's the Neptunian vision, a perpetuity spiral. We do wonder, cui bono, who profits from fanning the flames of conflagration? We get the common... I want to just finish the sentence, but yeah. The common deep roots of evil. Remember, in Aramaic, what is translated to us as evil, in Aramaic, the word that Jesus would have used means unripe. So I also want us to animate, you know, what do we do with unripe things? We put them in a brown paper bag. So I want us to also visualize, just for the fun of it together, you know, a giant brown paper bag descending over the U.S. Congress. A giant brown paper bag over the Middle East, over Syria, you know, that all whose hearts are hardened and unripe, may they ripen. Yes. Yes, darling. What did you want to say?
Oh, I just, Evangeline, I just want to say, how can we keep a conversation going? There's many things I want to add to what we talked about tonight. Post it on the Trickster Council?
Yes, post it on the Trickster Council.
Okay, perfect.
Yes, that would be really good. Many of us are on that Facebook page. I know there's fears of Facebook, but many of us are there, and it seems pretty cute. And, you know, I think, what the hell? It is our thing.
And, you know, we talked about that earlier. Different people were learning how to get on there without being vulnerable. Okay.
Well, you can create a phony name if you think the IRS might mind your good-hearted blessing for the world, but or the NSA. And remember, also, we're going for the NSA transcription service. That would be so useful.
My thought is that it's wonderful things have been going on in my world that just follow through with what you're talking about.
In terms
of whatever, and I would love to be able to... share that with people.
Let us absolutely do that. You can do that on the Facebook page. Completely welcome. You know, it has always been Tara's dream to boot me into activity so that the Trickster Training website would be more like that, but that seems not happening. It's like I can't.
You're busy. You do what you do.
Well, I want to.
But we do what we do.
Right.
It would be wonderful to be stating that, because I will never do what you do, but I do a lot of what I do.
Yeah.
And I would love to share some of that, because some of that's been coming to, like, fruit. I mean, I'm amazed. Good things have been happening through diligence. Anyway.
That's great. Yes. So for now, you know, and may everything be ongoing dynamic, for now the Facebook page is good. If you...
Right.
Also, if you are not, and Facebook is anathema to you, you can email me. That's fine. Interesting things that you'd like to be part of the discussion. We may well be merging the websites, and there may well be, you know, dedication grows the form. There may be another form that is more secure for our cahooting, although I think Facebook is pretty secure. Anyway, many things could happen. We're in experiment, to bring old Saturn forms alive in new experimental ways is a great...
I want to say one more thing. In the last 2 years, you have contributed so much. This forum has contributed so much to my life. I am totally grateful.
I am replenished. We are replenished by your gratitude. How wonderful. And then just before we... deconvene with what I liked. It was a little controversial on Facebook, but it was from the very end of an interesting video and music, and then into our kinship with all creatures music. But just to go through just a little bit to honor, you know, the first, you know, first we have the fabulous, that famous image, the frieze of Demeter Ceres holding the wheat and the snakes. And the snakes are whispering the secrets of the underworld into her ears, and it's a very happy relationship. It's good snakes and good sheaves of wheat, and we love Ceres Demeter. And it's particularly now, because there's Ceres Demeter, goddess of the earth, big dwarf planet, you know, at zero Scorpio, just having entered Scorpio, so even more snaky, even more underworld commerce, even more to be appealed to, even more when we say, you know, the Shekinah, and also it was Güneli Gün, wonderful Turkish author years ago, who said at the very end of the show, you know, the predominant deity in pre-Islamic Middle East was she-wolf. And throughout the entire Middle East flew azure blue flags emblazoned with a female alpha wolf's head on it. And I was like, where? Let's bring that back. When was that? And, you know, in traveling through Syria and Turkey, you know, people go, yes, we have a dim memory. We've forgotten that. And we go, okay, she-wolf, Shekinah, Scheherazade, it's got a rhythm. She-wolf, Shekinah, Scheherazade, she-wolf, Shekinah, Scheherazade. Again, bringing back the kind of sane reverence and the snakes from the underworld and speaking, inviting them. Remember, the gods, the whatever metaphor, the power would love to enter the world but must be invited. It's invited by a dedication. It's invited by a metaphor. It's invited by a metaphoric divinity going, come on in. Come on into Ceres Demeter. Come on into the harvesting of the grain at Lunasa. Come on into... I love the images that, you know, Tara and I cahooted and sort of excavated and found that are on the website, Telecoyote. Beautiful woman with... I think it's a baby with a wolf underground. I'm pretty sure that... Why, that could be... That could be She-Wolf and the Shekinah. That could be... That could be, it's, I don't know, it's a great image. So we do want to animate that. And does anybody want to come up to prime the pump with a birthday well-wishing for Obama of unexpected capacity and protection? And
yeah.
Okay, please. Thank you.
All right. I want to bring in this gorgeous, one of the most gorgeous aspect that we did not discuss, which is this amazingly close Mars trine Neptune, both in very strong signs, Scorpio and Pisces, for their
did bring it up, but you're allowed to bring it up again. Yes.
Okay, fine, whatever. Okay. Yeah, because they're two great water trines. But I mean, this is very, very close, you know? And it's about wishing upon him effortless action in the flow of divine grace from the world where all opposition is an illusion and where everything serves the one purpose and where you find that path that where even opposition is only in the movie, not in the reality, where he finds that Mars-Neptune effortless action that is perfectly in tune, that comes from that non-conflicting place and comes forward from compassion and from courage, where you just find that hole, that way through, and everything works for you because you're working for everything.
Perfect.
That's what
lovely.
I love.
That's really great. Yes, and Mars happens to be my Mercury, so I'm up for this here.
Caroline, can I jump in for a second?
Please.
This is Lynn in Colombia, and I feel like, oh my gosh, this is going to be this downer. But I found out I have breast cancer last week, and I'm really wanting to request from groups like this one. You know, it's like you say that to someone, and people all go, oh my God, oh. And I'm just feeling like I just want to request energy coming toward Columbia, Maryland, that is toward, no, I'm going to, you know, see you in radiant health in some way. It's looking like it's going to be double mastectomy. It's looking like that at this point. But then, you know, I that could be cancer not being there, and it could be just sort of moving through something, and getting rid of something that's not, that just, you know, doesn't serve my body. And I just am wanting, this is one of the few groups I know of where I could say, I don't want anybody to send me negative energy, but I could use some energy coming toward me that is like going, okay, you know, we're seeing it as, yeah, okay, that's very clearly in there. But it can be, you know, removed surgically. That there are wonderful benefits of, you know, things like that. And, you know, you just can get to the other side of things. It's just kind of a curious, interesting meditation.
No, good for you. And exactly, deep delving. And I do, you know, I do have great friend comes to mind who has undergone that journey, you know, and is on the other side and is truly, this is not making it up, she is truly happier than before she knew she was sick.
Wow.
It is one of my feistiest friends ever, who is so feisty, and she found out, and she, again, in Kaiserland, and we can talk more about this on and off stage both, but, she was like, and then she was really, she was really angry at everybody going, I tell everybody, and they have to hang up on the phone, or they say, oops, goodness, change the subject, or, so she was very angry, and she's very wonderfully critical, but she did say that she was impressed that her HMO, because she is almost always the smartest person in the room, her HMO had these beautiful visualization guided visualization CDs, and she said they were really good.
We can
hook you up. And she was so impressed, and she hates everything, right? So she was like, these were really good. And then she was so intimate. She was so thrilled to meet her surgical team, and we did a lot of backstage going, may the right people, and she was like, these are some of the smartest people I've ever met. I like them more than most of my friends, and she went for the full double thing, and I did the thing, and when I saw her, she was like, I am a much happier, more together person than before I underwent all of this stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm trying to think about how could this be a gift? Why might I have written this into the story? I'm not sure about that totally, but I'm just being curious. I don't know.
We don't know. Hello?
This is Susan. I would just like to wish and imagine and put out there that as Caroline is just entertaining bronchitis and it is just passing through, that
right.
For Caroline in Colombia, this is simply passing through. And what was seen, 2 weeks ago may or may not be there. And if the recipe is
sure.
to be happier than you've ever been before, may you be happier than you've ever been before without having any of the smoke and mirrors and magic and AMA that is attached with these thoughts that are now passing. That's
good too.
I love that. I can't tell you how helpful that feels. That's wonderful.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Many, many ways. Yes, exactly. Perfect. Yes, much well wishing and a well wishing of, to you, to all beings, of feeling supported, access to wisdom and guidance, desirable vision. Because part of what's true for you, Blessed Lynn, in Columbia, Maryland, whom we've known each other so long, it's really great. I can't even remember. Since the 80s. I think it's since the 80s. It is.
Absolutely.
Since the 80s. Yeah. Oh, we could travel so far. And then even what Captain Helier was bringing up and I was bringing up as well, that there is this beautiful pattern that is for Obama, for Lynn, for everyone, which is, energy follows vision, always true, but especially now, in keeping again with what beautiful ally Susan just brought up, going, right, energy follows vision. We see you radiant, going, well, who would have thought? What a good experience. However, we don't do the how part exactly. With Obama. Let's see Obama going amazing, exactly as Rick was suggesting, how the obstacles just dissolved away to the animating of the good story and against all odds and all that vitriol and hatred, is protected from it and it's just started to melt. There we go in the world. And whatever blessings anybody else wants to receive or to send is really good. And I like the, remember there's a lot of Scorpio going on now. It's spicy. It's deep delving. Mortality is on the table. Many of our team have talked to me about, or communicated going, I wake up and I think about death. And we go, it's available. It's Saturn Scorpio. But again, going, okay, and this deep, deep, deep delving, mysterious, interesting, powerful, backstage, invisible time, the invisible equally, invited, to assume the form that we invite it into. Yes, mysteries. We do not presume certainty is a booby prize, but nothing is stuck so much as fluid. So there. okay, team, you know, and let's keep it all going. You know, and I'm not sure. I don't think you, Lynn, are on the Facebook thing, right? Are you? Or, you know?
I'm not yet, but as we're talking, I won't have time for the next few days, but I'm going to try to, I have a Facebook page, but I have not ever done anything with it except checked in with my daughter when she's out of the country. But it's really easy to get on, right? I can just, like, ask to be a friend or something.
It's really easy, you know, Tara.
Okay, so, I'll get with
it. It's very easy. And there's
okay.
No obligation to do anything.
Okay, great.
At all, you can just kind of look and go, oh, that's interesting. You know, and then you can also say, I have this thing and I'd like some support here.
Yes, and I really want to do that. And for the surgery in particular, I have a former spouse who runs the hospital. It's a wonderful cancer center. It's like the best one in the area at the hospital where he works. But he's very angry with me for leaving him. And it's just really done. It's not a good marriage. We need to move on and have other experiences. But I want a shield around me. As soon as I find out when the surgery is, I do want to let people know and ask people to create a shield around me.
Oh, why wait? Let's start now. We see you protected.
Let's start now. Yes, he's done. Yeah.
Shield. You know, for you, for the Lynn part of all of us, for the Barack Obama part of all of us, all of us part of all of us. You know, may the ancestors place a cloak around your shoulders that which is good for you is magnetized and that which is not good for you is runs off like water on a duck's back.
That's great.
There we go. Okay, Maestro, Captain Talk to Me Guy, do we have our music into Animal Medley lined up?
We do.
All right, let's do that.
Go ahead. I paused them.
I was just going to say, you know, we are transforming terrorism into terrorism. There we go. All right. Loving the antidote. Okay, terrorism into terrorism. Okay, thank you, Maestro. Take it away.
So, we must ask ourselves, what is the dictionary definition of terrorism? The systematic use of terror, especially as a means of coercion. But what is terror? According to the dictionary I hold in my hand, terror is violent or destructive acts, such as bombing, committed by groups in order to intimidate a population or government into granting their demands. So what's a terrorist?
They're calling me a terrorist. Like they don't know who the terrorist. When they put it on me, I tell them this. I'm all about